And welcome to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. I'm Rich Calkins. Across the way is Jerry Coyne. And incredible games last night, JC. I mean, and a lot of the hype going into the game of the week was the Grayling-Sault Ste. Marie game. And I tell you, it did not disappoint. And with us on the phone right now is head coach Eric Tunney of the victorious Grayling Vikings with that huge emotional 36-32 win. Coach, what a roller coaster affair, and really what a great, great high school football game.
Yeah, for sure. It was, hats off to our kids for just, nonstop. They just keep playing and fighting, and hats off to the Sioux too. They got they got some nice players, well coached, well disciplined, and yeah, heck of a football game, and glad to come out on top for sure.
Yeah, Coach, you really, early in the game, you had some big plays by David Milliken and some different things, and then you were able to grind it out, and then some big pass plays later on, and the team just seemed to respond, and they were just so resilient throughout the entire game.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're trying to figure things out. They changed up a little bit schematically and tried to take David out of the game. He's a special kid. He's going to bust a couple if he gets an inch, and he did, and then they really keyed in on him, so we had to get the passing game going a little bit. So, hats off to our kids, and, they just – the Sioux kept grinding, man. They're a meat grinder, like a St. Francis, like a Kingsley, and our kids just found a way to win, and super, super happy and proud of them.
Yeah, it is really nice, Coach, to be able to have David Milliken, Anthony Fisher in the backfield there, and then to have the athletic wide receivers that you have, so you are more than a one-dimensional run team.
Yeah, for sure. I just think about scouting and scouting us and seeing the weapons that we have. It wouldn't be fun to turn that film on and see those four or five guys in the backfield or catching passes. And yeah, I think we're getting our identity. We can pass the ball, we can throw the ball, and becoming more efficient and better play calling, and just expected later on in the season.
Right, for sure, Coach. And also then in the maturity of your sophomore quarterback as well. It takes time. After starting on JV, for a year, but then he comes up as a sophomore. Now the game, just like they talk about, the speed of the game increases, the reads change, everyone's bigger, stronger, faster, and he really stepped up big last night.
Yeah, for sure. He's impressing me more each week. He's a student of the game, a coach's kid, but he's making the correct reads. On Josh's touchdown, it was kind of like, no, throw to DC. And then he, made the correct read and hit the corner out in the back of the end zone. So, very impressed with him. And, we later on in the game gave him a little more trust had a little more trust in him to make the reads. And, he made some big plays, and he's getting better. And, Lyon did a great job protecting him all night, but he's standing there and taking hits too. Even that last touchdown to Dylan, he got drilled. I didn't realize that till watching film this morning.
Coach, let's talk about that for a second. You had an outstanding football team last year with a senior quarterback, and so he moves on. A lot of other great players stepping in. How hard do you think it is for a sophomore to gain the respect of the rest of the team and be able to garner the respect, drive the team, especially when they take away the running game and it goes so much on his shoulders, a kid that's only started, five games now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I love about our kids is they're very accepting towards each other, especially within our program, especially the seniors with the underclassmen. I think they realize, we don't have 50 kids on the sidelines, so it takes all hands on deck. And it's just something that we've always been pretty good at. And another thing I love about our kids is they put a lot of pressure on themselves to do well, which sometimes that's not a positive, but for for the most part, they, you know, if they mess up, they know it and want to find ways to fix it. So, you know, the kids really embrace their role, which is key, especially the younger guys. You know, they want to be perfect. You know, we seek perfection, but knowing that you'll never reach it, you know, so it's a good climate, I think, in our program. And I think our older guys do a good job of getting the younger guys ready.
Yeah, Coach, and also talk about a little bit about, you know, after some real tough emotional losses to Traverse City St. Francis and then the week before to Kingsley, where, you know, you guys, mm-hmm. let's be honest, you guys kind of felt you had that game, but Kingsley ended up winning it. But so this game really, there was a lot riding on it because you knew the Sioux mm-hmm. was, you know, very similar to those two teams in their sense of how tough, how physical mm-hmm. they are and the kind of offense they run. But talk about the importance really of winning this big game.
Yeah, it was huge. You know, just, you know, obviously playoff points, they're a Division IV school. They got a lot of wins already. So points wise, it was huge, but mentality wise, you know, I told somebody last night, I was like, we've lost enough of those games to know how special every win is special, but against a good quality team in a tight game like that, you know, those losses really exaggerate this win and make it feel that much sweeter. But you know, playing in those tight games, you know, they help you. Even the losses, like you learn from those tight losses, and then you learn how to push through and finish games. And you know, in years past, I don't know, our second halves weren't very good, and I think this year we're a second half team now, and I think that'll help us moving forward and hopefully in the playoffs as well.
We're talking to Coach Eric Tunney from the Grayling Vikings. And Coach, at least on paper, the heart of your schedule is kind of behind you now. Got some games that look pretty winnable for the team. So do you work on different stuff that you want to get better at, or maybe take the foot off the gas, try to keep some of your players healthy as you head into the playoffs? What's the outlook now for the rest of the season, and then, you know, looking like you're going to head into the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, parts of our schedule are meat grinders, and like you said, I think you know, those Kingsley, St. Francis, and Sioux, those are three big ones. But we got to be ready every week. You know, when you go to the semis, you know, people circle that game. And for some reason, it seems like we get everybody's best game, which is good, which is fine. We need it. But, I think we have a lot in, especially offensively, and we just need to perfect the things that we have in. Obviously, you know, as we get closer, we'll throw some wrinkles in. But, you know, each week we got to just focus on ourselves and getting just a little bit better each day. And, mostly just perfecting, and we're working on the things we have in. You know, if we can get up, we'll rest our guys, but you know, it won't be much different moving forward. But I know Ogama, they always play tough. They got some dudes. They gave the Sioux a heck of a game last week, so we can't just think we're going to show up and roll everybody. So we'll take it one game at a time and hopefully get healthy and get ready for playoffs.
Right. Coach, again, Coach Eric Tunney of the Grayling Vikings with us. Eric, talk about basically the last real important play of the game, the onside kick. I really don't think that was an intentional onside kick. I think you were trying to kick it hard down the middle so that the ball was bouncing up you know, through the middle of the field to take up time, obviously in a tough recovery for the Sioux. But fortunately, it bounced off a Sioux player of one of their frontline players, and you guys recovered. But I don't think that was intentional, was it?
We hadn't practiced it, but apparently during some point during the game, they told our kicker to try it, and I think he missed on the one before. And it's tough to do. I tried to have Elliot do it last year every game, but It's super tough to do. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, I guess. drilled off the guy, and I think Tavion slid into it. I thought he had it, and then the ball was just laying there for what seemed like a few seconds, but our guys pounced on it, and then I knew it was game over. So proud of our kids, man. I don't know if there's video of that sideline after that play. I know it was chaos, and everyone was jumping up and down. And pretty cool, especially during homecoming. The stands were packed, and, it's a big thanks to Viking Nation for coming out. And our student section was awesome. And just a good win. We needed it, and I think it'll help launch us forward in the next few games.
And no surprise, David Milliken, king of the homecoming king on top of everything else.
Yeah.
I was
looking at my watch going, when's he going to get back in the locker room?
That's
good. We had three of our guys on court, and that's cool. So, happy for him and happy for all the candidates. And homecoming's cool, but as a coach, you're like, all right, it's football time. But,
we'll get him selling some popcorn and doing the stats for us, too. I don't think he's busy enough.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how many tackles did he have yesterday?
It's just amazing going both ways. That it's amazing he has any energy left.
He's a junior version of the kid from Central Michigan. Yeah. I mean, from TC Central.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Burnham kid. So.
Yep, right.
Yeah, he's a special kid, and he works his butt off, and he trains hard because he knows what he's going to see, and teams key on him, and teams grab him and twist his ankles in the piles and cut him, and they try everything to slow him down. And he's a special kid, and he's gonna make some college coach real happy. I know that.
I was going to ask you that question, Coach. So, what's the biggest school that you've had at practice taking a look at them?
Yeah, there's been multiple D2 schools looking at him. Like I tell every kid, like, you need to find out what you want to study because, football is cool, but at some point you take that helmet off for the last time and you got to have a job and a degree. So what I love about him and Eli, like, they all just, and Drew, they look at what they want to do for a career or field of study, and then, okay, what schools offer that? So
there you go.
Some kids just take the first offer they get, and so they can post it on Twitter and whatever, to each their own. But I tell the kids that if they're playing in college, like, education's first, and that's what's gonna, there's a very, very, very small percentage that gets to play college, and then obviously an even smaller one that gets to do that as a career. So, get your degree, go to a school that offers that, and then if you get to play ball in the meantime, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
Coach, I'm sorry, but you have to figure in when you're talking to your players about how attractive the co-eds might be at the school.
That does help. I've been on some official visits where they try to lure you into that. But I remember in high school, my high school coach made me sign a contract that said if I signed an NFL contract, I had to buy him a fishing boat. So I might be doing that with a couple of our guys.
There you go. Well, unfortunately, you didn't.
Bought him that boat, though.
Yeah, Coach, that's speaking of that, real quick, Coach, next week you take on a Tawas team that's a little bit down this year, but a team you're probably familiar with back in your high school playing days. They're from your neck of the woods of Whittemore Prescott.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we hated them growing up. They kicked our butt in basketball every year, and we kicked their butt in football, so. It seems like they're struggling this year. I know they canceled the JV game with St. Francis this week, so that's a bummer. I hope they can get kids back. But, we'll take this week and focus on us. And I don't know much about them this year other than their record. And it sounds like they got a pretty good running back. So we'll see. They don't play till today at 1 against St. Francis, so. We won't get filmed till later, but we can just focus on ourselves and hopefully get healthy and get ready to rock.
Right. Okay. Well, great. Coach, thank you very much for joining us. It's going to be a happy homecoming dance tonight. So that's a beautiful thing. Congrats on the win, and thanks for joining us on the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show.
And anytime, guys. Take care.
All right.
All right, go Vikings.
Yeah.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Bill Marsh Automotive. This is the Bill Marsh Automotive High School Scoreboard Show.
Welcome back to the Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins here in studio along with Jerry Coyne. And on the phone with us right now is head coach Greg Vaughn of the TC West Titans. And Greg, the game got changed from Friday night to kickoff at 3 o'clock today up at that beautiful stadium up in Petoskey. How did the week of practice go so far with an extra day to prepare?
Well, first of all, good morning, guys. But you guys realize we played just about every which way this year. So it kind of gave us an extra day just to watch film, have the guys run, and, give us a day to let them kind of recoup a little bit. So wasn't all that bad. It's just add one more day.
Right. And, Coach, you're taking on a Petoskey team that has a whole new coaching staff and has totally revamped their offense from more of a power, full house backfield to now where they're going to spread you out. They might run it still, but definitely a different formation.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, if you followed Petoskey the last couple of years, what they ran, very tight, power, trying to get at you, get outside, using their quarterback different ways. This year, they're definitely more spread out. Trying to get in space with kids and see what they can do.
Yeah, Coach, you've had numerous kids step up all season long. You're a senior heavy laden team, and it's just really pretty remarkable to see the number of kids that have stood tallest at the biggest moments throughout your games thus far.
Yeah, our kids have done well, and different guys have stepped up, which is awesome as far as the team goes. You want to see more and more kids throughout the year, step up.
Yeah, for sure, Coach. And, you do have some other kids as well. Michael Skirmerhorn has just been a man, number 21. He's one of your captains. He's done a great job at the running back position, but also really a key figure and anchor at that linebacker position.
Oh, Mike's a three-year starter for us, and he's moved around a little bit, different positions, wherever we need them, but very strong leader, someone that we can do that with. We can throw him in different spots and get him play very well, because he's just naturally an athlete and competitor, and that's one of the greatest things about Skirmerhorn.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, also an underclassman, a junior, TJ Fox, is a kid that was one of your scout players of the week, I believe, in the first week, but also a kid now that's the last few weeks has been getting more playing time, and he's kind of stood out to me as really improving throughout the year.
Yeah, I think we talked about the beginning of the year, we bring the decision to bring JVs up for our games this year was because we saw TJ as a freshman come up for playoffs and absolutely, give our guys everything he could. And we're like, man, I wish we would have seen, that kid throughout the year. And so TJ has been a kid that we know and that we've been waiting for just to do what he did when he didn't know any better, bring everything he can. And so he's definitely a kid we want to keep developing, for late in the season and playoffs.
Coach, what is going to be the keys today in this afternoon game against Petoskey for your Titan team?
I think the number one thing coming out of Alpena was we weren't physical enough. And that's something we've tried to pride ourselves in this year. And our guys know it, and they weren't satisfied with how physical they were. So we need to come out this game, and we need to redeem ourselves a little bit as a team and make sure that, we're trying to impose our will as much as we can and just be physical the entire game, not let up, and get that complete game.
And Coach, special teams are a big part of what you guys do. Really an important part of how successful you've been this year is because of those special team units.
Oh, absolutely. And you guys know, we spend a lot of time practicing that. And Coach Smith, we don't just show up and go kick or whatever. We are practicing like it's a phase of the game, like it should be. So we break it down into individuals and all that kind of stuff. And, You know, it shows when you get out to the field. We put emphasis on blocking punts. We put emphasis on different styles of kicks and things like that in our fakes. And, you know, when it comes time against really good teams, you know, that's something that can mean the difference between winning and losing.
Right. And, Coach, I tell everybody up in the press box, when your special teams come out on the field, I cover up my mic and I tell them, this is the most exciting part of the game, so pay attention because things are going to happen here.
Yeah, it's. I will tell you, last week, I didn't know we were faking it, but I've given Coach Smith the go-ahead. Whenever he feels comfortable and thinks we can do it, go ahead and do it. And all of a sudden I looked up, we faked it, we got the ball back, and here we go again.
Coach, what kind of challenges do you expect from Petoskey? What do they do well? Where do you think you can attack them best?
Well, I think just a good team. I mean, obviously with them spreading out, they're doing some really nice things. They've got some good skill kids in the backfield, you know, quarterback and the running back that we've got to be able to take care of. You know, it's kind of looking in the mirror a little bit because they do things very similar to what we do offensively. You know, defensively, they're running an even front. So they give you a couple different looks out of a 4-2 and a 4-4. So you got to be able to manage what the coverage is and where the overhangs are so that we can attack in the spots they're not. You know, I tell our coaches all the time, football is pretty easy. You run where they're not, and then you cover all the gaps on defense. That's what it all comes down to. And so, you know, we got to be able to get out there. Their kids are going to be flying around. They always do. We played them twice last year, and they had us in that second game until we were able to get some things figured out second half and pull away. So they'll be ready to go.
Yeah. Coach Greg Vaughn joining us, of course, from the TC West Titans. Coach, really looking forward to this afternoon's game, a 3 o'clock kickoff, again on 106.3 on the Up North Sports Radio Network. And best of luck to the Titans here, and let's go get another win.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. We are.
Titans.
We'll be back after these from our fine partners on the Bill Marsh Up North Sports High School Scoreboard Show.
Welcome back to the Up North Northern Michigan Scoreboard Show, presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne, Rich Calkins in studio. And joining us right now, the victorious coach of the Traverse City Central Trojans, Eric Sugars. And Coach, big win for you guys in shutting out Cadillac 24-0 last night.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks. Yeah, it was a great win for our team and program. You know, Cadillac's a great football team. Coach Mallory's done a great job down there. And I thought our kids had a great week practice and preparing for their option. And, you know, our defense really stepped up and played disciplined football and played kind of assignment football. And, you know, we beat a good football team in Cadillac, and I'm pretty proud of our effort.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to win games, Coach. I mean, let's be honest, you're a high-powered offense. You've scored a lot of points in most every single game. And so to have a real tough, hard-nosed game, as Chris Spielman used to call them, old slobber knockers, it's good to show that your team can win in multiple ways.
You know, that's exactly what our coaching staff said. You know, we were a veteran coaching staff. We got a lot of guys on our staff that coached a lot of football games, and I'm blessed to coach them. But, yeah, you know, that was the comment after the game. You got to win games like that. You know, in some ways that game felt, you know, I felt we were in control of it, you know, for the most part, certainly in the second quarter when we took control and got our points on the board finally. And I felt we were in control from that second quarter on, you know, after we got a couple scores on the board. But you're right. Your offense isn't always going to be able to just march down the field and score, certainly when you play better teams. And so, and you got to get used to that. And for us last night, we're pretty up-tempo and fast. And we were able to kind of slow it down for us and control the ball more and have more time of possession, which is something we're used to not doing. You know, we used to try to score quickly and then our defense is back on the field. But last night, it was kind of nice to watch the offense operate in a little different fashion. And like you said, you got to win games in a lot of different ways if you want to, you know, make a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure, Coach. Also, Coach, you know, who were some of the kids that really stood out to you last night that stepped up for this important game?
A couple of players last night, just defensively, when you really think about it, I think a lot of our guys – our defensive line did a phenomenal job, you know, up front against Cadillac and what they do. And so just we kind of mixed it up front. So some of those guys, you know, that we don't hear about very much, we tout our offensive line a lot, and there are certainly guys that do that. But some of those guys play defensive line for us too. And Davis Hurley and, you know, Parker Smith, the defensive end, he's been playing for us for like 3 years. He did a great job. Caden Warner plays offensive line and defensive end for us. And I'm proud of Damon Livingston, a senior. You know, he stepped up, and he stepped up in a big way. Him and his dad. His dad's a coach on our staff, and he lost his sister this week, and oh, Damon lost his aunt. It was a tough emotional week for him, and I'm just proud to see him step up in that game, and he got a big sack for us. And so those are the stories and the events in kids' lives. You just want to be there for them and love on them and just give them an opportunity to play high school football and kind of get away for a little bit.
Right.
I'm proud of those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sometimes sports can, you know, act as a distraction to, like you said, some personal issues going on behind the scenes. So, congratulations on that. And, you know, sorry to hear that some of that news as well. But also, Coach, now next week you're going to take on an Alpena team that got a big emotional win over Gaylord last night.
Yeah, you know, anytime you go on the road, you know, certainly way over to Alpena, you got to be prepared. And we talked to our players about that. I think it was, when we look at the scoreboard watching at the end, you know, after your game, you look and like Alpena knocked off Gaylord. And so there you go. I mean, they earned the victory, and then, you know, they're getting better. They're improving. So that's what we want to do every week. We want to improve and play good football and, you know, and just keep marching through. And like I said, we own our own destiny now in the Big North Conference. You know, we're the only undefeated team, and we got one opponent left in Alpena to win it outright for the third straight year. And that's going to be our goal. And so we just got to get back to work, you know, starting today and certainly tomorrow and in preparation for that. But our guys, you know, this is one of their goals all along, to win the conference. And we got other goals too, to extend the season as far as we can and make a run in the playoffs and hopefully make a run toward Ford Field. And a lot of programs say that. But I think our team, you know, our team, after looking at what we were able to do last year, we want to kind of take that next step, but it's a process. You got to get better every week and play game by game.
And you say that, Coach, play game by game, and Alpena's next up on the schedule, but then two really, big games that you've got coming. You got Brother Rice coming in, who's always going to be tough, and then North Farmington. So how difficult will it be to keep the team focused on Alpena?
Well, I mean, you're exactly right, but you know, like I've said it before, we have a pretty mature group, you know, these are our high school kids, but, you know, our seniors understand what you have to do week in and week out. And so, you know, I'm certainly proud of how they've handled everything to this point. And we really operate kind of, sometimes I guess in a vacuum. We really focus on, you know, this week, even though, you know, we got a couple of tougher opponents, you know, coming in Brother Rice and non-conference in North Farmington, who we beat in the regional championship last year. I mean, those are good quality programs too. So, you know, but hey, if you want to be 5-0 in the Big North Conference and win it outright, you got to focus on Alpena. And our kids know it's a long bus trip, and you got to go over there and take care of business. And then you can turn around and worry about those other games later in the year.
Right. And Coach, as we know, injuries and health play a real important role as you guys have lofty goals here for the end of the season. How do you guys coming out of this a Cadillac game, a team that's really physical, by the way, Cadillac, how are you guys right now? Are you guys pretty healthy?
You know, going in the game, we were dinged up a little bit. We were down a couple starters, you know, at least two-way starters, at least on defense. And so we were able to plug some other guys in that stepped up. You know, Chase Adams is a kid, a senior on our team. Should have mentioned him the other day. He really stepped up at strong safety for us. And so he's just done a phenomenal job. He's kind of one of those guys that will step in at anywhere, linebacker, running back, and H-back and everything. And you need those types of kids to be successful. And so overall, you know, we are pretty healthy at this point. But, again, we're kind of nursing some injuries, some little shoulder soreness and things like that, but nothing major that are keeping kids out for, you know, multiple weeks. So it's just, you know, working through those and just got to be smart in practice and take care of your injuries. And, you know, if you tell our kids, you got to sleep, you got to rest the body. So hopefully our kids do that this weekend.
Yeah, you know how it is dealing with those teenagers. I mean, those guys, you know, they like to kind of burn the candle at both ends. But that's also, as you've mentioned numerous times, Coach, about the impart the maturity of your group. That's where that really kicks in.
Yeah, it does. It does. And that's, you rely on your seniors and, you know, their knowledge they have. And, you know, I think when you kind of develop that team accountability, you know, I think our kids, we really focus on that, like being accountable to each other. Not only just we have like accountability partners on the team, but you're accountable to the team. So your actions impact a lot of people, you know, and we talk about that. It's not just the team, but the community as well. I mean, the community really rallies around the high school football teams and programs. And so our kids have a responsibility to make quality decisions and take care of themselves. So, and hopefully they do that.
Well, Coach, we want to thank you for taking the time out today and giving us the latest update on the TC Central football team. Again, great win against Cadillac, and we'll check in with you next week after you guys take on Alpena.
All right, guys. Well, hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate what your continued support of high school football. I love it, and go Trojans.
Go Trojans. Yeah, Rich, they've got some stuff going on. I was just looking at – I'm really excited. I'm going to go to that Brother Rice.
Yeah, I bet. That's at your alma mater. Yeah. And they're coming north, and so that's – I mean, they don't come north very often, so no. You got a chance to –
try to find something orange and black that I haven't worn in a while. But Brother Rice had a big win against the ninth-ranked team in the state, Orchard Lake St. Mary's.
Nice.
And they were coming off two losses, you know, against Catholic Central and Warren De La Salle. De La Salle's coming up,
It depends on where they place in the Catholic League.
Yeah, the West is going to play either Catholic Central or De La Salle, and I don't know if they're coming up here or Central or West has got to go down there.
TC West is going to host
one down there.
They're going to host. Okay. Yeah, and I saw Detroit Catholic Central won a big game last night too, in a low scoring of 21-7, I think it was.
Yeah, they, you know, that Catholic League, the upper tier of that Catholic League, the Brother Rice, Catholic Central, De La Salle, and Orchard Lake St. Mary's always have great football teams.
Right,
all of them have won multiple state championships. So with Brother Rice, there's going to be a great measuring stick for TC Central.
Yes,
after having a game against Alpena and then North Farmington coming in the next week. So,
exactly. Yeah. That's right. That's where that experience against DeWitt in that first game of the season at the Big House should come into play, because they played Central played a much better second half than they did in the first half against them.
Well, like we've said, and we watched it firsthand, the Central team really, in a game that was closer than the score indicated, still was in complete control of that game after the first
they did
5 minutes.
Yep. So, I mean, there's very few weaknesses on that team, right?
No,
I can't
see.
They've
got size. They've got speed. They've got a quarterback that can run it and can throw it.
Right. And that offensive line is impressive. They come off the ball.
Yep.
And they really are as solid as the team that we have in Northern Michigan. And they're a Division II team. But like Coach Sugar said, man, they made a deep run last year. And they're expecting.
You know they're thinking state championship.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
That team has all the makings of a state championship, especially if they stay healthy. So we always like to, even though we broadcast TC West, we appreciate Coach Eric Sugars giving us so much time each and every week.
Absolutely, coming on our show. And we appreciate all the coaches out there in the time that they give to these local communities for these kids, because that's what it's all about. Because none of them in high school sports are doing it for the money, because there's not a lot of it. You figure out the how much they make per. It's pennies per hour they're getting.
No. I don't know if there's any coaches up here that are getting, you know, like Texas money.
No. I don't think so. No. Down in oil country, high school
maybe
coaches.
Maybe an extra $4,000 or $5,000.
Right.
Yeah. No.
As a head coach.
Yeah.
And then exactly. And maybe one or two of their assistants may get paid a small stipend.
Yeah. No. It is a love affair for sure.
Yeah.
And And we appreciate all the coaches, all that they're doing. You know, we've had the opportunity to interact with all the coaching staff for the Grayling Vikings.
Right.
Just great guys.
Yes.
Really a love affair with their kids.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm sure that's the same thing with, I mean, you've been to a number of practices
yes.
at TC West. And, you know, the first and foremost, they are putting the kids in the best position to win.
Right.
But a culture yeah. of doing for others.
Right. That's exactly right. Being part of that team atmosphere. Because, again, they're all going to take forward all of these behaviors that they've learned in these team sports settings. And they're going to use them in the workforce.
Yeah.
That, bottom line is that's what you learn to work as a team. And that's so important out in the work world.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When we return here on Up North Sports Radio and the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show, we'll run down a whole bunch of scores from a very busy week in high school and give you a little look forward to next week's schedule. So stick around.
All right, welcome back to the High School Scoreboard Show presented by the Bill Marsh Auto Group on Up North Sports Radio. Rich Calkins and Jerry Coyne joining you today. And, J.C., it's time to take a little tour around northern Michigan and check out some of the scores from last night's action.
Well, we found out that, you know, obviously Grayling, great comeback win against Sault Ste. Marie in a game that they, you know, Rich, if they had lost,
yes.
would have put them in some weird space for the playoffs.
Right. And as Coach Tunney said, that was such a big win because, again, Grayling, a Division VI team, Sault Ste. Marie, a Division IV team, and a good Division IV
yeah.
team, those are big bonus points that you get for playoff contention.
Yeah. So, and then we obviously heard the TC Central score shutting out Cadillac. Probably going to put Cadillac in a little bit of a danger zone for the playoffs.
Well, I think because, again, no, you know, this they no longer need to have six guaranteed wins. It's they take a strong your strength of schedule, which of course Cadillac's a Division IV team and TC Central is a Division II team.
Yeah, so even losing to them gives them some points.
Right, yep. Exactly, and so yeah, so a lot of that, and I'm so glad the High School Athletic Association went to this format. Because it allows good teams in areas to play each other now without severe consequences, where you always needed that hard set six wins. No longer the case. Strength of schedule plays heavily into this factor now.
And then locally, we already mentioned that Gaylord lost a toughie to Alpena. So run down some of the other scores for us.
Okay, let's start in the eastern part of the UP. All right, it was Munising all over Rudyard, 28-16, and a little bit of a surprise there. Rudyard, the Bulldogs there, a strong program, but Munising came out with that one. Newberry shutting out Superior Central, 58-0.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a big one there. Let's do a little bit of the North Star 8-player league. Mayo continues their winning ways as they beat Atlanta 49-32. Miles, I believe they've only lost one game this year. So good for them. That's a tradition.
Glad Atlanta's still playing football in some form.
In some form, yeah. Right. I know it was kind of sketchy for a few years
yeah, it's
there.
A small school.
Tiny, tiny school.
Yeah.
I worked up in Montmorency County for years, and absolutely. So I agree. As long as they can keep a football program out there, that's great.
Yeah.
JC, as we've talked about, of course, the Big North Conference, Alpena getting their first win of the year over a very tough Gaylord team this year.
Yeah, that's a surprise, actually.
It is. It is a surprise. Definitely would deem that a upset for
yep.
sure. Gaylord was looking to go over 500 there.
Well, they were looking to get into playoff contention.
Yes.
This puts a big monkey wrench into that for them.
Yeah, so low-scoring affair. Good
yeah.
defense by Gaylord, but good for Alpena, though, getting that first win. Of course, TC Central all over, or you know, tough win, physical games. They beat Cadillac 24-0. And again, TC West will be taking on Petoskey at 3:00 up in Alpena or up in Petoskey today. Looking at the West Michigan Conference, defending state champ in Division 5 or Division 6 last year, Montague all over Shelby 70-0. So they continue. They're not quite the same team they were last year because they lost quite a few of those kids, and their quarterback and one of their receivers is playing collegiately now. But
what about St. Francis? Are
they play today.
Yeah, right.
They do, yep. And they play, let's see here, that's got to go back here a little bit. Let me check that out. But, yeah, they're going to host at Thurlby Field today. They're going to take on Tawas.
Oh,
so okay. That's that. So Tawas, not only do they play Grayling next week, but they're going to play Grayling on a short week.
Yeah.
After a physical.
After a really tough game. It, you know, I that would be a shock if they even come close to keeping up with St. Francis. This is a St. Francis team that really has their eyes on Ford Field.
Yeah, no question about it. And from what I've seen from them this year, that's that looks
it's
to
realistic.
Be in their future. Yes, absolutely. And, of course, Tawas, historically, you know, the home of Jeff Janis, the former Packer receiver on the receiving end of a few Hail Marys from Aaron Rodgers. So he's their local claim to fame.
Houghton Lake had a big win last night, I believe.
Houghton Lake did play last night in the Highland Conference. They actually came up on a tight ball game. They lost to Lake City 28-20.
Ooh.
Yes. So that was a close game.
Yep.
But yeah, so Lake City, who started off really strong, lost a game or two, then all of a sudden they bounced back last night.
Good win for them.
It was. Unfortunately, the Beale City and Pine River game was canceled last night. Pine River couldn't go. I'm not sure if that was a COVID issue or what the deal was. But so Beale City continues to roll as they're a real power to be contended with in Division 8. Roscommon got a win last night. They beat Manton 36-30. So good win for the Bucks there. Congratulations on that. White Cloud over Lakeview 28-14. Grant in a tight ball game. They beat Newaygo 12-7. Reed City, they continue to roll. They beat Central Montcalm 50-15. Yes. And Big Rapids, good team this year. Big Rapids won 41-8 over Chippewa Hills.
How'd Joburg do last night?
Joburg. Let me see here, JC. I believe they lost. They did. Yep, St. Ignace beat them 30-14.
Yeah, that Joburg team, as we mentioned a few times,
yes,
trying to get their numbers back up and play. They'd made the decision to play shorthanded this year in 11-man football, and it's been a tough one, and they got a couple of kids injured as well. I think they're really only literally playing 11 kids right now.
Wow,
yeah.
That's tough. Yeah, that was a home game for them last night. And,
yep.
And St. Ignace has been on the rebuild for a
yeah.
few years as well.
Yeah, that's no doubt about it.
A tradition-rich program, but again, it has struggled the past couple of years. In other Northern Michigan Football League scores, Algamaw Heights won a close one against Benzie Central, 19-13.
Both teams awaiting round out the rest of the Grayling schedule.
Yes, exactly. And Kingsley shut out Sheboygan 34-0.
Yeah, Kingsley continues to roll. They might be thinking Ford Field.
Look, yes, absolutely. Looking forward to that TC St. Francis Kingsley matchup coming up. I'm not sure if it's next week, but I think it's maybe 2 weeks
away.
Yeah,
that's going to be a huge game.
Unbelievable, yeah. And there were some other scores as well. A team we've been talking about them just a little bit is Gladwin. Okay, Gladwin, they just continue to roll as they are playing some incredible football right now. Of course, they're in the Jack Pine Conference.
Right.
And I was checking out some information on them, and they still have only given up 18 points the entire season. They have every other win, they've given up 18 points in one game to Algamaw Heights. Every other game's been a shutout.
Wow.
Unbelievable. They beat Shepherd 73-0 last night. They are, but you know what's the great matchup in North is they take on Clare next week. So
Clare's they've only got one loss, right?
They got their second loss last night because they filled their schedule with Marquette.
Oh.
So they traveled up to Marquette last night.
And way out at, I mean, what is that? Marquette's D2 or D3.
And Clare's like a D6.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they, it was a 1-point ball game.
Wow.
They lost it.
Well,
but
good for Clare.
What a great, absolutely. Yeah. They had an opening in their schedule. They wanted to play, and they were willing to take probably an 8-hour bus ride up to Marquette and take
play
them
out of conference, out of division. That is, good for them. We're seeing that more and more. We talked to Coach Tunney when right. their schedule was when they had an opening, and then they went to look for a game.
Right.
But they would have had to gone down to Detroit and play a D8, I think Southfield Christian or something that they were looking at, and it just didn't make any sense.
No.
Because they get nothing, no points for a win. And all the travel and the cost and everything else. But you've got teams flying all over the place now, as we mentioned. Both De La Salle and Brother Rice or Catholic Central coming up here to play. It's just hard to find games, a comparable competition, Rich.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. And that's why you said teams are willing to make long-distance arrangements purely so the kids can play in enough games and so you know that to compete. Boyne City bounced back from a tough loss to St. Francis last week. They were all over Kalkaska 48-16. Roger City, they continue to win. They beat Alcona 30-24. Also, let me see, Frankfort, they beat Glen Lake 28-22. And also another good game in Northern Michigan. Charlevoix beat East Jordan 14-6.
There you go.
That was one of the
James Cook games of the week. So
it was. Yes, absolutely. We talked about that Marquette Claire game. Marquette won it 40-39. So a high scoring affair. Marquette has only lost one game this year, and that was to TC Central.
Yeah, and they've got to play West. I think West is going up there.
No. Yeah, we are. We're going in 2 weeks. We host Gaylord next week at West, and then the big long adventure. So we're going to get our dogs sled team together, and we're going to head north.
Well, I still – what is it? What's the burger joint?
You got to go to Clyde's.
Clyde's, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. They at two locations, just outside of St. Ignace and also Manistique. There's a location.
There you go. By the time you're done with the one burger, you can stop in and get another Clyde's.
You ask me about restaurants. I know where restaurants are, J.C.
When you and McCord were doing the games for Grayling, they played a lot in the UP.
They did. Yeah, absolutely. We always made the playoffs, and we're always heading north, whether it's Kingsford or Menominee or things like that, always heading over to the western part, over in Packer country, where they, of course, they're proud to show their colors over there. They absolutely... The green and gold is everywhere.
Well, obviously, Marquette, with only one loss, is playoff bound as well. So that continues to be a testy schedule for TC West.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, that's going to be a great adventure going up there for sure. And let's take a look at some of the Jack Pine Conference standings. We just have a few minutes left. We got a hard out here, as they call it in the business. The Michigan pregame show will be starting right at 11 o'clock.
A big football game for U of M and Wisconsin today.
It certainly is.
Yep.
As I've mentioned, JC, the Gladwin, the Flying G's. By the way, I wondered how they got their nickname, the Flying G's. I'll have to do some Inspector Clouseau work on that. But they've outscored their opponents this year.
What, the Vikings weren't available?
Right, yeah, exactly. They've outscored their opponents 367-18.
Wow.
That's incredible. This is the highest scoring Gladwin team. They're averaging, I believe, like 64 points a game.
Well, and obviously, and a stout defense on top of it.
Yes.
They've probably got big aspirations going forward.
Absolutely. A Gladwin team that when I grew up in the late 70s, early 80s, they were always big farm boys down there.
Sure.
Just strong kids, always a tough matchup. And so also look at the Harrison Hornets now are 5-1. So they're looking in playoff contention. Of course, the Clare Pioneers as well, definitely in playoff contention. They're 4-2, but again, some of those losses, as we've talked about, were against bigger teams in Marquette.
Just very quickly, Rich, I know, and this question is kind of coming out of the blue. Any teams that we thought of that were in playoff contention that going to need some wins going forward?
Thinking about right offhand, I can't. No one really stands out right now as maybe underachieving. JC that came in highly touted this year. There's not a team out there that really.
We'll do our homework this week and start as we get down to the crunch. Just a couple of games left in the season, and But all the teams that we follow look like they're playoff bound.
Right, exactly. As we talk about the Northern Michigan Football League in the Legends Division, of course, Kingsley, St. Francis, Sault Ste. Marie, and Grayling all in serious playoff contention.
What about Boyne City? Do they have enough wins?
Oh, yes. Boyne City definitely, of course. They're over in the other division now.
Right.
But yeah, their only loss thus far has been against St. Francis. So that's definitely their – Boyne City's definitely going to be going to. And in the other division, too, the Legacy Division – is East Jordan's looking at a playoff run at 4-2 so far. Frankfort at 5-1, and that's a bit of a surprise because all those scuttlebutt, that might be the surprise this year, is because a team that's got great history in Frankfort.
Oh, sure.
They were said to be down this year. Well, so far through six games, they're 5-1.
Yeah.
How's that for a down year?
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
Well, they take their football very seriously at Frankfort. That's going to do it for us here on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show. Thanks for joining us here on Up North Sports Radio. We'll do it again next Saturday. Don't forget Friday face-off here on Up North Sports Radio with Rich and I and Keith Gave, who's listening and texting to us how badly we're doing today. Where we take it at the end of the show, we do a pigskin preview and give you the update on what's going to happen the coming week. Action in Michigan high school football here in Northern Michigan. As Rich said, we've got U of M Wisconsin, the pregame up next. Go Blue!